Welcome back to WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the football season, and it has been something around here this week as we get ready for yet another really, really big game. And as I've said, I don't think the Browns are winning the division or Steelers. I think it's Bengals and Ravens, and this is the big one on Sunday night. Love having this guy on the program. I wish the Reds and the Orioles got together, or we bearcatted or something like that, but it's great having a real rivalry because it wasn't always that way. Dan Hoard joins us now. He is the voice of all things Bengals, whether they're wearing those white uniforms or not. Dan, I said, and I had Solly Wilcox on, I said, I'd like the Bengals. I mean, that's a throwback, not forward for me. You know, I want some Booby Clark in my life, brother.
You know, I kind of advocated for the original Bengals helmet because it was so hideous, it was beautiful. So I'm kind of with you. But then they broke out those white tiger uniforms last Thursday night, and they look good on the national stage. So
Are they universally loved? Like, our purple's universally loved.
Yeah.
1 week, Tucker and the whole team came out in gold pants. I don't know if we played you guys. I think we were playing like the brown. We had a purple top, like the Redskins in the gold trousers.
Yeah. Yep.
I loved it. It was so universally, mortifyingly hated that they'll never put it on again. And the outcome didn't go well that day.
I think the white was universally loved in Cincinnati. They've been selling those white helmets at the pro shop for years for autographs. Even well before there was ever an idea that they were going to actually wear them in games, before the NFL allowed alternate helmets, it was just a great thing to have to get autographs on, because obviously with the white, the autograph shows up really well. So that might have planted the seed all of these years. And when they broke them out last Thursday, they were very well received locally and nationally.
Well, look, man, you know, I have a long, fond history with the Bengals and Marvin and y'all. And I'm not here to pick on ownership, but it's been a slow to move ownership, and much like in the baseball waiting for interleague play and the DH in the National League, and things move a little slower in Cincinnati. Man, I mean, everybody's trotted out pajamas at one point or another in every sport, changing palettes. I'm a Padres fan. There's 14 different colors and, you know, in the color scheme, you know, the Bengals have been, and I talked about this, if we're going to get on uniforms, we'll get on the field, but the uniforms are fun. And we wore ours last week, mortifying. But I remember when Collinsworth was like a rookie and I was a Colts fan. I ran into Stan White the other day and Bruce Laird, so I want to give them some love. But I remember the Bengals coming in here, really good Bengals team, the Ken Anderson team, playing Montana, all that, came in here that year, and they had the swooshes on there, and it was the sexiest helmet this side of the Houston Oilers, who were my team. And that lingered for 4 days. I mean, like, incredible amount of time where you guys didn't go pajamas very much as other places did, you know?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that in most aspects of NFL football, the Bengals are kind of, you know, slow to make a move, a little bit like turning the Titanic. But in recent years, boy, that has changed. They've become one of the biggest spenders in free agency. They've adopted a ring of honor, which fans had wanted for years. They have, you know, fancy new uniforms. The atmosphere was awesome last Thursday night with the whiteout. They haven't done things like that before. The game day presentation is now tremendous. I've always said I thought Baltimore had the best game day presentation of any place that we've been. But the Bengals have learned a lot from Baltimore and other places. So, yeah, I think it's fair to criticize them for maybe being slow moving in the past. But that's quickly becoming ancient history. They have caught up with the times in a hurry.
Well, yeah, I was out in L.A. watching the Black Crows for the show. I was up in the upper deck. I thought you guys were going to win, man. And I was pulling for you because all these nouveau Rams fans. And I was watching it for 6 hours at Inglewood up to no good. And I thought, you're coming home with it. You know, it's going to be chili and confetti, and like Marvin will get vindicated, I hope, because I love Marvin. But I wanted it for you, and it run me through, because I don't know that I've had you on really since then, and I didn't even talk to Dave about it. I had my L.A. experience, and it was the plague and weird and all that, but man, I had your fans all in my hotel, and it was beautiful, and I've been to 28 Super Bowls, and, you know, seeing a freaking Patriots fan, you know what I mean? Like, there's a little bit of that, but it was beautiful for you to experience it.
It was, you know, reality exceeded my dreams, getting a chance to broadcast the Super Bowl. You never really know if you'll have that opportunity when you're a local team announcer. So it was tremendous. And with Joe Burrow, I think I'm going to have that chance again. Pretty confident that I'll have that chance again, thanks to him. I thought the Bengals fans were tremendous. There were more Bengals fans there than Rams fans there, even though it was technically a Rams home game. It's unfortunate that they had the lead with less than 2 minutes to go and couldn't hold on. But anytime your team plays for a championship, whether it's a Super Bowl, NBA Finals, Final Four, whatever it might be, that's a fantastic experience as a fan. But when it's completely unexpected, when you didn't see it coming, when the nation didn't see it coming, I don't think it gets better than that as a sports fan. It was just this fairy tale ride last year after winning a total of 6 games the previous 2 years combined to be within 2 minutes of winning a Super Bowl. I'm not sure that it gets much better than that, other than obviously holding on and winning the game.
Well, man, I wanted it for you in some sort of twisted way. And I'm getting older now. I'm mellowing out. You know, once I saw the Colts have a parade, I'm a Baltimore guy. You know, I thought we've had 2. I'm good. If it never happens again, my team won the Stanley Cup. My friend was the coach of the team. I mean, like, I've had wonderful experiences. I sort of want that, but there is a part, and the Buffalo Bills came in here the other day, and, you know, I had Tasker on last week and all my Buffalo buddies and whatnot, long suffering, right? So I can sit here and talk about having fun and having had some parades, not Oriole parades or, you know, but I would say this, for that sort of hope and for where you are, and you've already needled me that, you know, Burrow is going to do it again. And I, you know, if you gave me $1 to bet on it right now, not that we could place a bet on games anymore. I would say, yeah, okay, I'll hear that. And I don't know that I would bet on or against Lamar and the style he plays. Boy, Lamar's playing some great football right now. I mean, every week, whether it's Josh Allen, whether it was Tua before he had the, I mean, he did amazing things. We're seeing the game played at a very, very high level. And in these two specific cities, we're up the road in Cleveland, they're waiting on things. And in Pittsburgh, they're really waiting on things. And they had great things for a long, long time. This is the rivalry now. This is first place. This is where we are. Nouveau Bengals with sexy, awesome quarterback. Ravens with the MVP candidate. Great. This is for all the marbles on Sunday night in some sort of weird way. And it's fun to get ramped up for that.
It is. I don't think there's any question that Cincinnati and Baltimore are the two best teams in the AFC North right now. That will change when Deshaun Watson is playing for Cleveland. Then I think it does become 3 great teams in the division. Pittsburgh is down, but they won't be down for long. I don't know if Kenny Pickett is going to be in the class of Jackson and Burrow and Deshaun Watson, but if he isn't, the Steelers will go out and get somebody else. The organization is too good to be down for long. So I'm enjoying being one of the teams at the top after going through some lean years. The Bengals missed the playoffs for 5 years in a row. So it's nice to have that guy. The Bengals were fortunate that the 1 year that they were really bad, the number one pick in the draft was Joe Burrow. It doesn't always work out that way. The Bengals have had years where they've had the first pick or one of the first picks, and there just isn't that guy available. But he was in 2020. Roger Goodell uttered the most beautiful words in the English language from his basement. With the first pick in the draft, the Bengals select Joe Burrow, and it has completely changed the franchise.
Well, it certainly changed the city. Dan Hortz here. He is the play-by-play voice of all things Cincinnati Bengals, resting the pipes, probably having a downtown crab cake, maybe at Fadley's for the game and in town and sort of the long wait and all that. Give me a primer on your squad. I'm lucky my kid, you know, I can borrow his Amazon Prime on Thursday night that I had Ian Eagle on this week. I'm like, I didn't have to listen to you, but if I believe me, it was starting to get that way when you can't find the game, right? But you guys were in the uniforms, did all that, the Tua situation. But I got a chance to, like, watch you play, and I, you know, it's a different team than it was 2-3 years ago. Young, fast, probably going to make some mistakes and whatnot, but you know, a very, very formidable team that's been put together over there.
Yeah, no question about it. When people look at the Cincinnati Bengals from afar, naturally they think of Burrow and the three wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, probably the best trio of any team in the NFL. You've got Joe Mixon at running back, one of the top 5 or 10 running backs in the league. Hayden Hurst, former Ravens first round draft pick, has been a nice addition at tight end. So I talk about all of that offensive talent and the skill position talent. The defense is the reason why the Bengals have overcome an 0-2 start and pulled into a tie for first in the division. The defense is the reason why they put together 3 straight playoff wins, including road playoff wins against Tennessee and Kansas City last year. This defense is the secret weapon for the Cincinnati Bengals. They've given up a total of 4 touchdowns defensively in 4 games this season. They did not give up more than 25 points in 4 postseason games last year. So we know that the offense is capable of putting up big numbers. They scored 41 in both games against the Ravens last year. So far this year, the offense hasn't been great, but the defense has been stellar.
Dan, is there a point where when Lamar came in there and broke some ankles and, you know, I was at that game before the plague. I mean, embarrassing play. I mean, the press box laughed. I mean, literally, you had your headset on, you were calling, but I'm there waiting on the chili behind and the indigestion there. I'm like, 23rd trip to Cincinnati in a row. That was an amazing, legendary sort of thing. It feels like the Bengals don't do that anymore. And it feels like there was some tape on that. And it feels like there was some offseason on that. And there was some, that issue's never going to happen again. And when you're playing 2 minutes down for the Super Bowl, that, you know, from small things have come this. But I would also say Lamar Jackson, maybe Baker Mayfield for 5 minutes, but made it better that they've built this thing to be able to stop Joe Burrow.
Stop Lamar Jackson, you mean?
Stop anybody. Right. I mean, literally stop whatever you put out there.
Yeah, that's the goal. I mean, the first thing you have to do is try to win your divisional games. That accounts for, you know, 6/17 of your schedule. So they've definitely built their defense with that. Those moments that Lamar comes up with, including the, you know, hellacious spin move touchdown against the Bengals, that's going to happen. It's Lamar Jackson. It's not preventable. I'm a graduate of Syracuse University. I remember when he hurdled a guy in his Heisman Trophy winning season at Louisville. So there are things that man can do that you can't prevent. But what you can do is try to put the pieces together on your defense that give you a chance to not allow him to have 300 passing yards and 100 rushing yards in the same game. And that's, you know, that's what the Bengals have done. They have a lot of movable pieces on defense. I think it might be the most versatile defense in the NFL. They don't necessarily have a lot of superstar players. I think that Trey Hendrickson is close to that level. He was a Pro Bowler last year. DJ Reader, who's out with an injury right now, but when healthy, is probably the best nose tackle in the NFL. He deserves to be in that conversation. But really, it's, you know, a sum is greater than the individual parts type of defense. They just have really solid, versatile players all over that defense. Lou Anarumo can move them around, try to confuse quarterbacks, do things that other defenses can't do. And it's really been working since about the midway point of last year.
Look, I know you're always working hard during the week, but I have a feeling on Sunday when the Bengals were off, because sometimes we're concurrent at, you know, 1 o'clock games or whatever. I don't get to see you play Pittsburgh or whatever because we're doing our own thing. I'm sure you got a chance to watch the game on Sunday. Just some thoughts, because watching from afar and getting ready to call a game as you do intimately and studying up all week long on it, I mean, it really was a mess. I mean, and this is the second mess in 3 weeks. It's a tough week. And for John, and certainly the pressure on this game and what it represents inside the division. But these have been some hideous outcomes for the season ticket holders that have been down there watching these against these teams, especially in this conference. It's rocky right now, and there's injuries, and Lamar's been really good, but the contract sort of is this cloud that sort of rolls above it to some degree. And the linebackers are no good, you know, like, and you just said, you start reading names off of your skill position players, and I'm wondering where the helmet on helmet's going to be to stop that all day.
I love Josh Bynes. So I know he's getting up there in years, but, the 1 year he spent in Cincinnati, he was a dream to work with. So
tremendous, I root for him. Human being, Josh.
Yeah, Brock, I root tremendous. For him 15 out of Baltimore's 17 games. Let me turn the clock back to Sunday first, though, Nestor. So the CBS affiliate here in Cincinnati gave us Browns Falcons instead of Ravens Bills, which was an atrocity, but it's state of Ohio. They must have figured there are more Browns fans in Cincinnati than people that wanted to watch, you know, the best game of the week. So I listened to the game on the radio. I listened to the Bills broadcast. I grew up near Buffalo. The voice of the Bills, John Murphy, has been a friend of mine for many years. So I listened to their side of that game on the radio. And naturally, you know, they were,
you know, he came on a show last week and this might be bad luck. I don't know. You know, I mean, you guys, right?
Could be. But, you know, they were over the moon with that comeback. Understandably, I will go back and watch the game now just as a part of my, you know, game day prep during the course of the week. But to blow two big leads like that in the first four games of the season does deal a blow. John Harbaugh is a tremendous coach. I know he will get the guys over that, but will he get the guys over that right away? It's probably a legitimate question to ask, but I guess we'll find out on Sunday night.
Oh, I'll tell you what, and Lamar has really improved his game. And I know Joe Burrow has too, right? Like, I mean, all of these guys, when the game starts slowing down a little bit, we watch the Manning brothers do their little gig on Monday night and whatnot. And just, I marvel at how good they were and how their minds work. And when I do watch it and they're not doing shtick, which is great. I mean, you know, the whole thing's great. Archie's great. Olivia, they're all great. But the beautiful thing is the mind, and when the game slows down, and you know, Lamar has just, it's just evident how much work he's put in. And I'm sure the same thing was true with Carson Palmer in your era, or Andy Dalton, or any, you know, Joe Flacco here. But to see this measurable improvement and the wonder where this is going, because this is still pretty young and green, right?
Yeah. Well, in Joe Burrow's case, I think that's his superpower. Is his brain, his ability to diagnose defenses. He always seems to be a step ahead. Now, Joe, this year it's been an interesting story, because last year he was coming back from the horrific knee injury. He really wasn't willing to run for about the first 8 or 9 games of the season. And then he started feeling healthier and more comfortable, and he added the scrambling ability to his game. So this year he had normal offseason, put on great weight and muscle. He was ready to go. Looked like he was, you know, going to hit the ground running. And then just before the start of training camp, his appendix ruptured. He goes into the hospital for surgery. He comes out 15 pounds lighter, could barely, you know, stand. He was watching practices on a golf cart. He looked frail at first, getting on and off that golf cart. So that was a serious thing. He came out in the season opener and the Bengals turned it over 4 times on their first 5 possessions. So Joe got off to a rough start, but he looks normal again. The weight is back on. He's played great the last 2 weeks. I suspect he probably won't have a 4 interception game again the rest of his career, like he did in week 1. So unfortunately for the Ravens, I think they're catching Joe Burrow back to being the Joe Burrow that led the Super Bowl drive last year.
Just what I want to hear, Dan. Appreciate it, man. Hey, bring some chili with you. It's always great to visit with you. You're always generous with your time and coming on. And this is a big one. This is fun. I mean, and we had a good baseball season. You were talking about these crazy years where we kind of had a summer where sports was back for real, like after the plague. And my God, you broadcast all those games in those empty stadiums. I did a handful of them. You know, we're at a different level here. So I love the rivalry, man. It's fun. Come on in. We'll show you a little bit of Maryland hospitality, get your crab cake in here, but hope that, at midnight on Sunday night, you're the sad one, brother.
I know where you're coming from, and I know that to the rest of the year, you'll root for me, except for those 2 games against Baltimore.
You know, this is such an entanglement with Buffalo and you guys, because I like you people. I even like the Pittsburgh people, but they're not a factor this year. So all these friendships go so far, but it would be nice in January to have a little piece of all of this. We haven't had Cincinnati, Baltimore, had a lot of Baltimore, New England, a lot of Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and like all of that, even Kansas City. That would be fun for a little while. So Lamar, Joe Burrow, anything better than like a Sunday night in October or a Sunday night in December would be like a Sunday night in January, right?
It's going to be good stuff. Looking forward to it. Always enjoy games in Baltimore. Thanks for having me on.
Rest the pipes, brother. We'll see you. We'll see you on Sunday night. Dan Hart's going to be calling the action on the Bengals Radio Network, along with Dave Lapham, some other folks out there, the good folks in Cincinnati coming on in. 2 minutes away from a Super Bowl, looking to get it back together here. And of course, the Ravens reeling. Luke's out in Owings Mills. All of his coverage brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. That's Justin Tucker's kick. Luke will be out there with the full reports. All the stuff goes out on the WNST Tech Service, brought to you by Coons Ford of Security Boulevard. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.